Hi, my name's Sonia Duffy, and I'm happy to be here. Although last evening was quite painful for us from Michigan. I'll just say go Tigers and let it be.
That's right.
This study is the effectiveness of the Tobacco Tactics Program in the Department of Veterans Affairs. I have nothing to disclose, and I have a whole slew of people that are involved in this project, this VA project. It was a multi-site study. Just some quick background. Tobacco continues to be the leading cause of death in the U.S., and cigarette smoking causes approximately 443,000 deaths annually, and it is disproportionately high amongst veterans. More deaths are caused each year by tobacco use than all other deaths from HIV, illegal drug use, alcohol use, motor vehicle injuries, suicides, and murders combined. We did a pilot study in the VA. These are for inpatient smokers, and 70% of those smokers that were in the VA wanted to quit, yet only 17% received smoking cessation services while they were in the hospital. Most of the services for smoking in the VA, and they have done a very good job, I want to say, have been done through outpatient groups. So the veteran is asked to come and attend 4 outpatient groups, and then they can get smoking cessation services. The problem is they have to come back. And as you know, many are low socioeconomic status. They have to travel, and therefore these groups only reach about 10% of veteran smokers. Inpatient programs have been shown to be highly efficacious, and what they were doing in the VA is they would slap a patch on the veteran while he or she was in the hospital to give them symptom relief and then discharge them and send them back to the groups, giving them time to relapse back to smoking again. So the Cochrane Collaborative Reviews have actually said you need to get them right while they're in the hospital where they've temporarily quit due to the smoking bans. Nurse-administered programs have been shown to be highly efficacious. The number one reason that nurses do not do smoking cessation is they don't know how. Physicians and nurses are not taught how to do smoking cessation in their nursing or physician programs. People like to say it's lack of time, but it's really not. It's because they don't know how. Why teach nurses? Well, nurses are the largest group of frontline providers. They have access to patients. They have rapport with patients. Veterans love their nurses. They're trained in patient education and health behavior. They can incorporate their smoking cessation into routine care. They can relate it to the patient's medical condition. You know, you've just had a heart attack. Do you think it's time? And they can work with physicians to order medications. So the objective of this service-directed project was to test the effectiveness of the inpatient nurse-administered tobacco tactics program in 3 large Midwestern VA hospitals. And I want to point out, this was an implementation study. The VA is really big on implementation studies now, getting services into the hands of veterans. We have lots of randomized control trials that show that smoking cessation works if you get it out there. So this is going to be a little bit of a different design than I think you're generally used to seeing. Patients admitted to the Ann Arbor and Detroit VAs received the tobacco tactics intervention, while patients admitted to the Indianapolis VA received usual care. And the intervention group, Detroit and Ann Arbor, were kind of equivocal to the Indianapolis group in terms of demographics and numbers of patients and so forth. We developed our intervention into a toolkit because it had to be fast and easy for the nurses to use. We looked at formative evaluation, asking nurses and patients what they thought about it. We did pre-intervention quit rates. We did the intervention in the intervention hospitals, and then we did post-intervention quit rates to see if there was a difference in where in those hospitals where we taught the nurses to do the tobacco cessation. Baseline and 6-month follow-up. A little bit about the toolkit. The nurses, they had to be trained in 1 hour. They told us, you've got 1 hour. That is all we will release the nurses for from the floors. And I'm like, okay, how do we do that? So we had a PowerPoint presentation, and we actually figured out a way to do it. We had behavioral protocols. We had pharmaceutical protocols. We used a pocket card helping smokers to quit, a guide for clinicians, and we had a computerized template for documentation. The contents for the nurse PowerPoint training were the 5 A's. a behavioral protocol, pharmaceutical protocol, the documentation, and some case studies. We used this card, the 5 A's. I'll pass them around if anybody wants it. You can have it. You can order these. They were put out by tobacco-free nurses. But they basically walk you through the steps of behavioral intervention. You ask, you advise to quit, you assess motivation to change, you assist if willing to quit, and you arrange for follow-up. If you open, flip out the back page of the card, there's all the medications available as well. So in teaching these nurses, they could slip this in their pocket, and this was a way of getting the program going. The behavioral protocol, we looked at assessing quitting. See, all the VA has a field in the medical record. Every nurse asks the patient if they smoke, and they put, you know, current, former, never, and that's where it stops. They don't do anything after that because they don't know how. So we try to teach them, you know, what's the next step. So we asked if they were interested in quitting, and they said no. We left a brochure to raise awareness. If yes, we started our toolkit. One of the things we did is we got this, I'm getting ahead of myself. We have a videotape that's up on the overhead. That's on the certain channels on the television. So the first thing the patient does is watch this videotape. It's a wonderful videotape, and it is 20 minutes, and it goes over all the behavioral stuff and all the pharmaceutical stuff. But so when the nurse gets to the bedside, the patient's already primed, and they don't have to be literate to watch the videotape. Some basic behavioral stuff there you see in the slide. We had a pharmaceutical protocol. So how do you pick whether it's patch, gum, bupropion, Zyban? You know, how does the nurse know? So we recommended first nicotine replacement therapy if they've never used the patch or gum or lozenge before, or if they've used it in the past successfully. If they failed, we went on to use combination. And a lot of people don't know, you can use the patch and the gum or lozenge together. So the patch being something to keep cravings from coming, the gum being there to hit the craving if it kicks in. We recommended bupropion if they failed nicotine replacement or if they had a concurrent comorbidity of depression, because bupropion is also an antidepressant. You can also use bupropion and nicotine replacement therapy together. And lastly, we use varenicline. So these are kind of from the least dangerous to the most dangerous, and also from least expensive to the most expensive. So that was, and so this was like, you know, the nurses were like, okay, I know how to pick. And we said, now you educate the physicians how to do this in the same way that you educate them to order that patient a stool softener when you call them at 2 o'clock in the morning, right? So we had a documentation template, made it really easy for them to tick off what they did. The physicians did not want a reminder to remind their patients to quit, which we know increases quit rates. So we coupled that reminder with medication sign-off, which they would have to do anyway. So there was no extra trouble to just, you know, cue them into doing that. Our toolkit for patients, we have the brochure, the videotape. We have this tobacco tactics manual. We developed that for patients so the nurses could give it to the patient. You'll notice some of the artwork. That's a whole other study we did on developing the artwork in the VA. It's very veteran-centric. You see the little dog on the front, and we kind of modeled it after a lot of advertising campaigns that use animals, like the Joe Camel campaign or being one, but other campaigns that you see, like the Aflac duck. Advertisers know very well that animals do well. We did have actually a drill sergeant as the competing ad campaign, and the veterans actually liked the drill sergeant better, but many of our veterans told them that their drill sergeant told them to smoke them if you got them. So we went with the dog campaign. So even though it's kind of marine-y, we were told. We have these 1-800-QUIT-NOW cards. By the way, those pocket guides can be ordered very cheaply. First 100 are free, I think. And we also gave out these 1-800-QUIT-NOW cards. I don't know if any of you have seen these. I think 48 or 49 states now have 1-800-QUIT-NOW telephone lines where you can get at least free counseling and in many states free medications. We had the 1-800-QUIT-NOW in the hallways in the hospital, and many families and visitors also took those 1-800-QUIT-NOW cards. So the nurse offered brief advice. They had the patient watch the videotape, gave the manual, did the counseling, did the pharmaceutical component. The physician was prompted to give brief advice. We know from the Cochrane Collaborative trials that telephone follow-up really helps, but the nurses said, we're not doing it. We got new patients coming in every day. That patient goes home, they're out of our sight. So we actually trained volunteers and voluntary services to do the counseling, and they actually did a really great job. They loved it. They said they like doing this more than they like calling veterans to tell them when their colonoscopy is scheduled. So we did some formative evaluation, process evaluation, outcome evaluation, and sustainability. We trained 96% of the nurses in Ann Arbor, 57% in Detroit. 282 non-targeted personnel also showed up. Social workers, LPNs, psychiatrists. The nurses reported, self-reported increased doing the intervention from pre to post. They did cite not enough time as a barrier and not interested, particularly if there were nurses who smoked, which they weren't that many. There was about 11%, which is still lower than the population mean. And they gave some common suggestions for improvement. Having resources readily available. We had one unit where they locked all the material, the unit clerk locked all the materials into a drawer and the nurses couldn't find them. So these were all the kinds of things that we tried to overcome. We had initially excluded psychiatric units because we thought there would just be so much going on there with smoking and psych and all that other stuff. And we started the study and the head nurse from the psychiatric unit came to us and said, what are you kidding me? We have all the smokers. Why are you discriminating against us? And I thought, well, you got a point here. So with implementation research, unlike an randomized control trial, you can change your strategy. You don't change your evidence-based treatment, but if the provider said we want in, we let them in. So we went to the psych units, and we actually had a patient that had escaped, because patients on psych units get locked up for 3 days, at least in ours, and then they work to get out of the lockup because they want to go to the smoke shack and smoke. Smoke shack is actually mandated by the VA. The veterans went to Congress and lobbied for those, so we have to have those. And so they work real hard because they want to get to the smoke shack, and then this patient got taken to the smoke shack, and this takes staff time to take them, and that patient escaped. So that kind of, initiated us going to the psych unit, and we actually did actually train the providers there, and they actually did better than like intensive care nurses who don't know how to do behavioral stuff. They're like, do it, so they did well. So our 6 month smoking rates, self-reported, were higher in Ann Arbor and Detroit than the intervention sites. We showed a significant improvement, and we did see site differences, so we had to do a propensity score. I don't know if any of you know that. I don't know if any of you care about that. I have some information here. But basically, if you have like more heart patients in one site than you do in another site, then you've got to control for that, but you don't have enough power to control for everything, so you put all these things into one score and put it into the equation, is my short version of it. And so you can see that in the last three lines that we did get higher quit rates in the intervention rates, in the intervention sites than the control sites. And it's kind of a no-brainer. If you teach nurses how to do it, they'll do it. The more you implement smoking cessation, the more opportunity patients have to quit. And these are our quit rates. Ann Arbor didn't do as well as Detroit. Detroit did incredibly well. We increased quit rates by 3%, by threefold. Albeit they're just still pretty small. We did ask, the Jesse Brown VA in Chicago asked us if we would do it there. We got a small grant to do it there. And we didn't actually go there, we did it. The VA has a wonderful telemedicine Big TV, where you can connect with another site. And we trained five providers at the Jesse Brown VA via, I don't know what this thing is called, telemedicine. And those providers went out and trained all the nurses, so we were actually able to replicate that again by sending it to the Jesse Brown VA. We only surveyed 50 patients pre and post because it was a real small study. We didn't get a significant effect, but the quit rates did go up, and they were in the expected direction. How do we keep it going? The study is over. All of the sites that we trained are still doing it. We put the nurse training into the nurse orientation. The video is still up on the video where the patients can, the nurses can turn it on for patients. We're trying to get it into the nurse education system. They have this computerized education system that nurses have to take modules ever so often, and it continues to live on. And that's what implementation is. Research is different than randomized controlled trials. When the trial ends, it's over. But when in implementation research, the idea is to keep it going once the study ends. The Joint Commission has, since we did this study, has asked, is now got measures out there for inpatient. They are now voluntary, but they are going to become mandatory. They make them voluntary before they make them mandatory to kind of test them out, and hospitals get to pick which ones they want to test out. They get to pick four, I think. And so it is coming, and our program meets all of the requirements for the Joint Commission. We have, just as I finished this study, the NIH came out with a call for inpatient smoking cessation grants, U-grants, and everybody came up to me and they said, Sonia, you're going to go for this, right? And I had just done it in the VA, so the program is now being disseminated in six hospitals in Michigan, the Trinity System. Three are getting the intervention and three are getting the control. There are six inpatient studies now across the country. There is another VA researcher, Scott Sherman, in New York. Two out of the six of us are VA researchers, so that's cool. And we are they're looking at all different models for doing inpatient cessation, but this one is the only nurse-driven intervention. And we redid the manual for the general population, so it's not veteran-centric. Our VA manual did not have any women in it because the veterans are, I think, still about 90% men. That doesn't mean you can should ignore the women, but we now have a Irish setter. But
females, Irish setter.
Yeah. I actually was called to the director's office over this manual because of the artwork, because the VA has a rule that you can't give veterans any kind of pictures unless they're like getting heart surgery and you show them a heart or something like that. But I've also found out in the VA where there's a rule, there's another rule to get around it. And the rule to get around it is you can try new things if you're doing research. So anyway, so far our manual is out there in three VAs, and we have many VAs who write us all the time. We send them boxes of these manuals out there, love them. So that's our story. Thanks.